Don't be the last one in the morning, the first one to leave. Like, do your job well. People notice. Have a little chutzpah, as we say in Brooklyn. You know, we all have to do a little self-promotion in life. Get to events early, stay late, remember people's names, and follow up.
You're listening to the Building Better Futures podcast, where innovation meets inspiration. In each episode, host Eric Hirani journeys alongside notable thought leaders who are shaping the future, cultivating exceptional work cultures, and nurturing the next generation of trailblazers. We aim to spark inspiration by engaging in dialogue with leaders from groundbreaking companies, innovative projects, and exceptional teams. Our goal is to empower individuals to positively impact those around them and leave a lasting legacy of positive change in our communities and society at large. Let's dive in together and explore what it takes to build better futures, one conversation at a time.
Today, I'm joined by Carlo Cesora, President and CEO of New York Building Congress. Carlo, thanks for taking the time to talk to me today. How are you?
It's great to see you. I'm happy to be doing this with you.
Awesome. Before we get to the core conversation, I always start an episode off with good news and gratitude. So are there any personal or professional good news or gratitude you'd like to share with the audience?
Oh, boy. You know, I woke up this morning and I'm healthy. So that's always great news. One interesting thing. So my daughter is 9. Her school closed last June. And so she started a new school in September, and she did really great and is happy in her new role. So when kids are happy in their new schools, that's great. And one little PSA for all of your listeners, specifically the guys out there, because, you know, men don't take care of themselves. I went to a skin doctor end of August just to get some little tags removed around my neck, because, you know, when you put a tie on, they bother you. And lo and behold, I had skin cancer in my forehead. So, you know, early detection, had it removed, free and clear of any, you know, cancer, thank God. And I really say we got to go and do preventative medicine. So it's a PSA to all of your listeners and our friends out there.
That is amazing. And thank you for sharing that. I'm glad it sounds like it's been removed and you're good.
Removed, all good.
Very nice. Yeah, early detection is key.
Early detection.
My gratitude is on show days always for the guests. Thank you for taking time to do this. Loved what you shared about your daughter. I have a very young daughter, and my next like big thing is, where do we send her to school? Are we going to move because we want to be in a different district? Are we going to find a private school? So I'm glad that your daughter has found a place she's enjoying.
I will say this, Eric, it always works out.
Yeah. And then to your point about early detection, I've been on this like AI journey the last like few months. And I recently talked to a few AI founders, and it's amazing what they're doing in early detection of all things like medical. You know, my wife's a dentist and she was talking about AI in the dental field. So definitely a great reminder to everyone, take care of yourself. And then I think also just like the intersection of technology and the ability for them to do early detection. So like, you know, my sister's boyfriend, actually, he's at it's a startup called Skin Check, and they do AI early detection of like cancer on your skin. And it's like amazing. You take a picture and it uploads and they tell you what's, you know,
figure it out.
What's going on. So, all right, very cool. Well, I appreciate you sharing all that. So now tell us a bit about yourself. Like, where'd you grow up? How did you get to this role at Building Congress? What do you do at Building Congress? Tell us everything in 2 minutes.
Sure. in like 2 minutes. All right. So my journey started and continues in the great borough of Kings, also known as Brooklyn, New York. My parents are immigrants from Italy. They wound up in Brooklyn in the late 60s. My mother said she drove along the BQE at the promenade and saw the skyline and said, I'm never going anywhere else but here. So here we are. And I've lived in Brooklyn most of my life. Lived away for school, you know, back and forth. But now I live in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn, which is a phenomenal New York City neighborhood. And I went to law school, practiced law for many years, worked in local government, served on my community board or my school board, and then went and became chief of staff to Brooklyn Borough President Marty Markowitz back in 2007. And that was like an interesting journey. You know, I went from running my own law firm to running a large piece of government in New York and managing lots of people and doing politics and budgets and advocacy. And so spent a number of years there, got recruited to go run the Brooklyn Chamber of Commerce, which was a very logical next step from the chief of staff to the Brooklyn Borough President. Had a great time at the chamber, spent 5 years there, and then got a call from a recruiter about an organization that I knew very little about called the New York Building Congress. And really said to the recruiter, none of this makes sense. Why wouldn't they hire somebody like me who knows nothing about construction? And I'll never forget the recruiter said, they need you and you need them. It's the perfect role for you. And obviously went through the interviews. And I remember telling somebody at my final interview when asked, what do you know about construction? And I said, I know nothing about construction. As a matter of fact, if I have to put something up on a wall, I need to go out and hire a handyman because I don't even know how to hammer a nail in a wall, but you're not hiring me on your job site, right? You're hiring me to advocate for your industry. And that I know how to do very well. So can you believe, Eric, I am finishing next month my 8th year at the building. So longest job I have ever held in my life.
That's incredible. And I mean, the Building Congress is happy to have you. I'm a big supporter. And
yes, fan. You are. We love having you.
Love to be involved. You guys, amazing events. All of the studies are great. But so tell me this, because, you know, to me, I knew about the Building Congress before you joined, but my entire experience about the Building Congress has been under your tenure. And I have a lot of respect for your predecessor, right, Dick Anderson?
As do I.
Great. He's continued to get me involved in other things. But so tell me a little bit about like that transition. You know, now you're 8 years in, you feel super comfortable. What was it like that day one when you first came?
I can tell you, like, my first 2 weeks, I was longing to run back home to Brooklyn, right? I was, you know, it's like when you leave a school where you're the big kid on campus, and then you go to your next school and you're like, nobody even cares about me. So what I had to do was reinvent not only myself, but the Building Congress. And really say, what is the Building Congress missing that Carlo is very good at, right? Why did this group of really smart, successful contractors, engineers, and architects, right? Why did they pick me to replace a guy who was there 25 years? And really, Dick Anderson was a legend in our industry.
Yeah.
How does this kid from Brooklyn get the job? And so what I did was I said, I'm going to be me. And I'm going to be the person that they hired, the person that they liked, that, you know, we courted each other and they landed on me. And that's what I've been. I've been me. So I've been proud to say, you know, I focused on the things that I'm great at, building a membership organization, getting people excited about being part of an organization, growing its membership, growing events, doing great reports, bigger and bolder. Taking a lot more positions on issues. So advocacy was not a big part of the Building Congress. It is now our number one filler if you read our 5-year strategic plan. So, you know, trips to Washington, trips to Albany, bigger presence at City Hall, working closely with the mayor, the governor, and folks in DC to really showcase what Eric firms like yours are doing. Why is it important that money comes to New York? Well, because people create jobs and we build futures in New York and we fix our infrastructure and transit and buildings, et cetera. So I was proud to say I just decided I was going to be myself, and it's been a pretty great run.
That's awesome. And so you gave us a lot of great things you've done over your tenure. What would you consider is your biggest achievement while you've been there in 8 years?
I would say it's three things. One is membership. You know, we've never had such a higher membership than we have today. And it's growing and expanding, and members are excited to be there. So, and you see it at our committee meetings, right? The membership just thrives on getting together. The second piece I would say, and by the way, all of these are equal. It's not like 1, 2, 3, they're all equal. But the second piece is that I would say people know what the Building Congress is today. And I'm not sure they did the day I started. Now, maybe if you were in the industry and you were, you know, somebody in our little world, you clearly knew who we were. But if you are outside of our world, you have no idea what we are. And now you do. So now folks at City Hall know us really well. Folks at Albany know us really well. And folks in DC know us well. We're a broader based coalition than we've ever been. So it's really been about taking us and elevating the profile and elevating who we are. And then I would say the third thing really is our Washington, D.C. advocacy. We had none of that when I started. And now the fact that we are really a leading voice on infrastructure in our nation's capital, to me, is a really, really exciting thing. And I would just add one more thing. The increased youth and diversity of our boards, the two boards, the Building Congress and the Building Foundation, as well as our members, they're just growing and it's exciting.
That is exciting. And, you know, I spent some time on the Emerging Professionals Committee, which was amazing, and they continue to do great things. And I'm on the Board of Governors now for the foundation, which is exciting. I think we do some wonderful things there. I do want to ask you, so biggest achievements I wanted to chat about, but the thing I'm really interested to hear about are, what are our biggest challenges? And I had Johnny Evers on a few episodes ago, and we need advocates like you and Johnny and all of us individually in the industry pushing for it, because what we do is for the public good, right? It's for the public benefit. And that's why we need to continue to do that and continue to advocate for it. Because if we don't, cities wither away, you know, economic output decreases. Like, these are real serious challenges that we could face if we don't advocate for ourselves. So what do you see are the biggest challenges now for all of us, you know, as an industry, but for you specifically, because you are leading such an important organization in this era?
So look, I think, you know, there's a lot of NIMBYism, right? People want to see housing built. They want to see apartments built. They want to see schools built. They want to see offices built. They want everything. But I don't really want it where I live, right? You could build it in the next neighborhood or the next town or, yeah, don't worry. So, I mean, I think we got to continue to show, what does it mean when you build? And building is not just putting up a building. It's creating jobs, creating livelihoods, making communities safer, but also, right, empowering people and saying, you've got a nicer place to go home to at night. You have now a nicer place, a nicer school for your kids, a better place to go see a doctor and have surgery, a better place to go work, a better park, right? So we are building lives. We're not just building bricks and mortar. And that's something I continue to say all the time.
It's funny, the way you just spoke about infrastructure and construction is exactly how I speak about it, yeah. Which is, you know, you have a place to work, you have a place to live, you have a way to get yourself to work, you have a way to get yourself to school, you have a place to learn, you know, all of those incredible things. So one thing I typically do end up asking guests, so I'll just ask you now, is there any project you've like advocated for or been involved with that you thought like particularly you're just so proud to have been part of and that impacted the community in a really strong way?
Well, look, I think the Gateway Project is a monumental work that will go way past you and I, right? Just something incredible. But then there are other little things, right? Like some great buildings. You know, we were a big advocate of One Vanderbilt in Midtown. And when you go there, you're like, wow, this building always belonged here. Things like that, that you could say our members were part of it. We advocated to rebuild LaGuardia Airport for years. You go there and you say, wow. We've been advocating to do Penn Station. It's starting to move forward. So there are things, you know, the nice thing about our industry is it's a place that you advocate and you work for, and then you can actually go and touch the things that you've worked for. Not many people can say that, and that's something I'm proud of.
Yeah, real tangible results. Yeah,
and tangible results.
And One Vanderbilt is awesome. And
one of my favorites.
We had a foundation wine dinner there, and it was awesome.
It was phenomenal. I agree.
And so then looking ahead, right, with all of our aging infrastructure, you know, and I know the Building Congress does a lot of research and reporting. Where do you see is like the next big need for capital investment? You know, I know some people say the MTA. I know we need housing. We probably, you know, the SCA needs to be building more schools because we do have an influx of population. But where do you guys see is the next like real need for infrastructure and spending?
All of the above. But I will say this. none of it happens. So the schools, the office buildings, the housing, the parks, the hospitals, the everything, the retail, the hotels, nothing happens without a world-class MTA. So if we are not fully investing in the MTA, in modern subway stations, new trains, new signaling, new stations, expanding the reach of where our subways, buses, Metro North, and Long Island Railroad go, none of the other things can happen. So to me, we got to really focus on the MTA. I testified this morning in support of congestion pricing. Controversial issue, but we need the money to invest in capital. So I say number one priority for all of us has got to be build the MTA, rebuild it, get it moving forward.
All right, cool. That's definitely interesting to hear. I saw the articles coming out. I mean, what needs to happen next for congestion pricing?
So the MTA board will vote today. I believe they will vote. Yeah, I'm sorry I looked at my phone, but
no.
The MTA just approved congestion pricing.
Oh, wow.
The $9. So you are one of the first to hear it officially.
That is pretty amazing.
Yes, literally like 20 minutes ago, 15 minutes.
I wish we were live.
If they were alive, you'd be making news. That's great.
This episode is brought to you by Infinite Consulting Corp, your go-to firm for MBE certified project and construction management consulting. Discover how Infinite can help you build a better future at infiniteconsultingcorp.com.
What's next, though, after? I mean, the board...
The board approved it. We need state DOT to approve, but they will because the governor is supporting it. And then we need the federal government to act and mobilize quickly before it changes of administration. So we're on the right road. And the Janet Lieber has already said all the projects they said they were going to do are going to move forward, which is a big deal for New York.
It is. Yeah, we do a lot of work for the MTA in general.
Well, and you're about to get busier.
Hey, fingers crossed.
I love it.
So I wanted to talk to you a little bit about, I know everything you do for the Building Congress, but tell us a little bit about the Building Foundation. How does that work in conjunction with the Building Congress? And what is their goal? What's the Building Foundation's goal?
Sure. Their goal is simple, to support organizations that are making a difference in our industry. So we've supported ACE Mentorship and Veterans Group and Salvatore Center and so many different organizations who are really helping to grow talent in our industry. We're going to be moving forward soon with an incredible project with the Department of Education, more to come. We did a project with Salvatore Center in NYCHA, which is amazing. And so we got some surprises coming up. You're more at the board meeting tomorrow, which I hope you will be at. And then we will just expand the horizons of what this foundation means to people.
That is very cool. Well, now I am excited to hear more about it. And I love that Building Congress has, this philanthropic arm that where they can really support the communities that we all work in, right? I mean, that's the idea, is to support the communities and bring more people into our industry. We need that. We need that tremendously, actually. And so talking about like the next generation and how we bring more people into our industry, I always like to ask, what is some advice you have for like the next generation of engineers and builders and, even advocates, that want to be advocates for the infrastructure space? Like, what's some advice that you have for the next generation in general?
So I will say this, at my job interview for the Building Congress, I looked around the room and I said, this has got to change. If it's me or whoever gets the job, the first thing they should do is create a young professionals group and really run with that. And that was literally the first thing I did. So we've grown this new young portfolio. And it's not really, kids out of college, right? It's people in their late 20s, 30s who are building their careers and starting to grow the ladder. My advice is simple. Don't sit at home. Do not sit at home. You need to be in an office, on a job site. You need to be networking. You need to be meeting people. You need to go out for drinks with people after work. You got to go to events. You got to shake hands. And people have to know who you are. That is what is missing in young people today. The after work networking, the morning going to a networking event, a luncheon, that is not happening as much as it did in my generation or even in yours, right? Eric, how old are you now?
I'm 35.
Yeah. So the people a little younger than you are not necessarily doing that. So I say, get out there, show your face. People should know who you are and get involved in something that excites you.
And so if someone wanted to get involved with the Emerging Professionals at Building Congress, how would they go about doing that?
Just show up, send an email, go online, go on the website, sign up. You'll get the emails for the meetings and the events, and let's get to know you and be a part of this.
Because I would also advocate for that. I think the events that Emerging Professionals do as a group are great.
Yeah.
But also the networking opportunities and talking to, like, the people that are part of Building Congress are normally well-known in the industry. And that means they have a lot of experience and a lot of good advice. And if you are talking to them, you're receiving that advice. And one of the things, I think Mike Sweeney, because I had him on a few episodes, I said, and it resonated with me, was like, people want to help. It, you know, all you have to do is ask. People will give you
the
advice.
The worst someone could say is, I can't.
Yeah.
But I will say in our industry, people really want to support each other.
People want to help. I would totally, totally agree with that. And I think as for like getting out and being I think all of those things are really important.
Yeah, agree.
And I think COVID changed that a lot for a lot of people. It's also the fun of it, right? It's nice to get
I agree. You want to be out and see people and meet people and build your network, build your career. It is so important.
I'm a big quotes person. And do you have like a favorite quote or mantra you live by? Or like, what's the best piece of advice you got growing up or as you start emerging on your career?
Oh my God. Listen, I've got hundreds of quotes that I could share with you. I will say this, you know, and I learned this when I worked for Marty Markowitz. So he was the borough president of Brooklyn for 12 years, arguably the most popular elected official in New York City. And when the first poll for mayor back in 2009 came out, he was the number one choice of New Yorkers. And this was for a guy who said he was not running for mayor, didn't have a campaign open, nothing, but he was, every poll showed him coming at first. And I asked him, why do you think this is? He said, because I do my job really well every day and people notice. And I will give that advice, particularly to young people. Do your job really well. Don't be the last one in the morning, the first one to leave. Like, do your job well. People notice. Have a little chutzpah, as we say in Brooklyn. You know, we all have to do a little self-promotion in life. Get to events early. Stay late. Remember people's names and follow up. So if I give you my business card or tell you how to find me, and I don't get an email from you within the next few hours or the next morning at the latest, to me, you've wasted an opportunity in meeting me. And I say me, it means, you know, anybody who's a leader in whatever world you are in.
That's really good advice. And I wish I was better with names. My dad is like a savant. I don't know
Your dad's great with it. I'm a little bad with names too, but I will remember everything about you. I may not remember, but I'll know everything about you.
I'm good with that. I'll remember where we met, what we talked about.
Exactly. But, you might not remember it.
What the name is. And I feel awful sometimes.
It's okay. It's okay.
Well, I want to go back a little bit to the early part. So you'd mentioned, you know, you were an attorney, right? By trade, I guess you know, to law school. What was that practice about? And why did you move from there to, you said you went to the Chamber of Commerce after that?
First, I went to the Brooklyn Borough President's Office.
Oh,
so
okay.
I worked in government. So when I graduated law school, I worked for a law firm for a year. Absolutely hated it. Then I worked for a state senator and a state assemblyman and had a lot of fun doing that. And then I went back to practice law, worked at a law firm, started my own practice. And I actually had a really thriving law practice, doing real estate and leases and closings and all of that stuff. But I knew it wasn't for me. I knew there was something more for me out there. And the opportunity to go be chief of staff to the borough president kind of fell on my lap and I ran with it. So that is another piece of advice. Oftentimes, the train comes once in life. And when that train comes, you better jump on it because there may not be another one behind it. So I took a chance, I took a shot. I went out of my comfort zone, which people are afraid to do, but it's important. And I did that. And I realized that having a law degree for me was the best foundation because clearly I understand the legal pieces of it. I know what contracts are about. I know how to negotiate, how to make deals. But I knew that I didn't want to be a practicing lawyer. And I think for my skill set, I am exactly where I should be.
And so the reason I want to go back to your time as a lawyer is I didn't know what type of law you practiced. So it was real estate law, obviously. And do you think that shaped like your view of how to work with the building Congress or what it means to advocate for?
I will say this, and I've said this in my last three jobs. If I weren't a lawyer, I don't know that I would have been as good as I am. Because law school teaches you so many things. By the way, law school doesn't teach you how to be a lawyer, which they should, but they don't. But it does give you a lot of analytical skills and reasoning skills and obviously reading and comprehending what, you know, big contracts or cases are about. So it has really helped me in how I've navigated really the advocacy, the government, and everything I've done.
And then I will, I'm going to do the lightning round, but I have one last question for you because I think it's important for all of us. But how do we, not just as an industry, but as individuals, also advocate for infrastructure and get involved? Like, I know you're going down to DC. Can people join that trip or can they write letters to support you?
Sure. We have an open advocacy. You should, by the way, people should join their local community boards. It's the first step of government where a lot of the no's happen. So, you know, we want to get to yeses on community boards. So I say, join your community board, join committees in groups like ours, and really start getting involved.
Well, great advice. So with that, I will jump right into
I'm ready. I love lightning rounds.
So, and this one, I'm actually going to change what I had originally practiced because, or originally written, because you mentioned you're from Brooklyn. So what is the best slice of New York City pizza?
Will never answer two questions.
Okay.
You can ask me anything. I will never answer where's my favorite pizza and what's my favorite Italian restaurant. Because I have too many friends in the food business that will kill me. But I will say this. The best slice of pizza in New York is probably the one down the block from where you live. Because there is nothing in the world. And by the way, New York's got all these fancy Neapolitan pizza restaurants, wine bars, and they're lovely and great. But there is nothing like a New York slice of pizza down the block. As a matter of fact, when we finish, I haven't had lunch and I may run down the block and grab a slice. You go to any city in America, there's nothing like it. So a corner New York slice of pizza, fold it up, get a regular and a Sicilian, and you're fine.
Good answer. I love it. So then I'll ask you my scripted question, which is your favorite dessert?
Apple pie warm with vanilla ice cream.
So that is like a great answer because I'm not a big dessert guy.
I'm not either, but if you were going to give me dessert, give me that.
I love apple pie.
Preferably apple crumb pie.
Very nice. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I was thinking the same exact thing.
Yeah, it's so good.
I know you're Italian and we love that. Is there a dish you cook best? Is there like an Italian dish or maybe even some other dish that you cook?
During COVID, I perfected my meatballs.
Ooh.
So I started doing during COVID a Saturday morning email. I don't know if you remember that.
I
was crazy by doing it. We would literally get hundreds and hundreds of responses. People were like, we love this. Because it wasn't about COVID. It was just about like, my being pissed off stuck home or not being able to go see Billy Joel because he canceled his concert. But one of the things I did while I worked, I cooked. So on the weekends, I started really focusing on meatballs. I make amazing meatballs. I will send you my recipe, which we have sent down on one of my Saturday emails. And people in our industry are still talking about it. So I make a great Sunday sauce with meatballs and brajol, and so it's so good.
I love that. And you actually reminded me, one of the traditions we did during COVID was on Saturdays. Like, I mean, what are you going to do? We all had brunch, but like my wife, my sister, they learned how to make bagels. And we had these amazing homemade bagels.
Oh my God, that's fun.
It was awesome. Do you speak a second language?
I speak Italian fluently. I'm pretty good in Spanish, and that's about it.
Very cool. This is a more serious question, but do you have a favorite book? Is there any, like, do you like to read?
I love to read, and I'm sorry I don't have, I have it at my desk at work, but I keep The Power Broker on my desk.
Very
I always have. I think it's just an amazing part of New York's history. And it's important for those of us building to understand why we are living in a city that we're in today. The second book I keep on my desk is called The Prince by Niccolo Machiavelli. Everybody should read it once. And then I like reading history books. So I like biographies. I'm reading the Nancy Pelosi right now, The On Power. I forget what it's called, but I've got that on my nightstand. I try and read a chapter every night. And, you know, I've read the Obama book and the Bill Clinton and Hillary. And so I enjoy the political angle of books. And then I love, I don't know if you're going to ask me about TV, but I try and watch nothing serious on TV. I try and watch things that are interesting or mysteries or just fun. So you got to have a little lightness in your life.
I do that. I try to watch comedies. If I'm going to watch something, I want it to make me laugh.
I agree.
I mean, I have a few dramas that we watch typically if I'm watching with my wife, but on my own, I'm typically a comedies guy. I will say The Prince, I mean, that's an incredible book.
Yes.
The Power Broker, did you used to have that on your desk before you got this job? Or was
I've had it on my desk since Borough Hall.
Wow. So that's, yes, cause have you seen the movie Motherless Brooklyn?
I love Motherless Brooklyn.
Amazing.
So I've read that book twice.
But it's like loosely based on, obviously, The Power Broker.
Yeah, Motherless Brooklyn is a great book.
So with that, we're closed out here. I appreciate all your insights. I hope everyone gets involved in their community boards and whatever they can do to advocate for infrastructure, because it's not just about us. It's about them. It's about everybody,
agreed,
right? If you use a public road, or you turn on a faucet and expect water, or like to go to work, or like to go to school, those things only happen because there was some sort of infrastructure spending on them. So please continue to do that. And Carlo, please continue to do everything you do. Please continue to advocate for us. Please continue to support and grow the Building Congress. And please continue to let me know how I can help when I can.
I love it. And we're excited to have you part of our board at the foundation. And I'm really excited to continue to roll up my sleeves and help build New York.
It's awesome. So with that, that's all the time we have for today. We'll include links to the resources mentioned, if any, in today's show's notes. Thanks again for listening, and keep an eye out for our next episode.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks, Carlo.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Building Better Futures. The show notes include links to any resources mentioned in today's show. If you're enjoying our podcast, please subscribe so you never miss an episode, and leave us a 5-star review.